You're listening to Am I the Bowlcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering hosted by this sweet, sweaty little boy. I'm your host. Why am I talking? Are we redoing this already? Is this a problem? My co-hosts are looking at me upset.
No. You're my sweet, sweaty little boy, Mike.
Oh, you got it. I'm Mike Carrozza. You probably know me better as Mark Carbanza. And I am the author of the column, Am I the Bolus, over at CommandersHerald.com, the column where people write in their stories about whether or not they were the villain at their table. And I get to say, yeah, you might be, buddy. Joining me, as always, in studio, in the very same room, but in a different country, is the man behind How They Brew It series over at CommandersHerald.com. Better known as Games Freak SA, it's Michael Solani. Hi, Michael.
You know, I've been trying to think about whether or not it actually would be possible for us to be in the same room but in different countries. You know, like a United Nations scenario, or like an embassy scenario, or like a St. Louis scenario.
International waters kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you're 40 miles out in the sea, you can play stacks. It is legal there.
That's great. I am wondering the same thing, and I don't know that it's possible, but I do like a running gag for our listeners to picture an office that stretches all the way from Montreal to Chicago. I think I like that a lot. Listeners, if you're not picturing it, do it now. It would get in the way of a lot of stuff. An office that long, and you can't just leave an office like that. You have to decorate it. It must be nice. Now that I'm picturing the office, I quite like it. Joining us also in this office in the different country.
In the long office.
In the long office of the Bolus, of the Bolcast, we've got our producer and super genius, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, Mike. I just had a note here because we got a lot of emails after MagicCon. Oh. And people are asking a pretty pertinent question that they need you to answer.
Oh, boy. What is it?
How was the beef?
Oh, God, I knew you were going to lead with this. Okay, look, we're back from MagicCon Chicago. 2 weeks ago, we were in Chicago. We met for the very first time in person, and it's so nice.
In the same country.
In the same country.
In the same office building, even.
In the same office, the same building. It was very nice. It was so sweet getting to see these two sweet, sweet knuckleheads. And, I had a great time in Chicago, but I will say, Morgan, you picked me up from the airport and I was like, I'm hungry. And you were like, well, you know what you got to do. And you drove us to a Portillo's first thing. And you were like, you got to get the beef. And here I am thinking it's going to be some sort of steak, because that's what people call a beef, is like, I guess that's what I think. But instead, a beef at Portillo's. There's a sandwich.
A wet sandwich.
A wet sandwich of my apologies. It is a very wet sandwich of shaved beef in a honestly great bread. Awesome. It's a sandwich of great bread. Excellent bread in the sandwich. It's Italian beef shredded, and you have your option of having a little bit of gravy, regular amount of gravy, or dipped in gravy. And Morgan, over the course of, I don't know, 2.5 minutes of waiting in line, kept saying, you got to get a dip. You got to get the dip. It's dip or nothing, buddy. You got to dip. And I can't tell you just how awful that sounds to me. I did not want to dip this sandwich in anything. I could not imagine anything more. Honestly, look, I'm a dainty little guy. I like not having dirty little thingies when I'm eating my food. Okay, I love a sandwich. I'll pick it up, and I got my mitts all over it. But if I pull away and my hands need a wash immediately, I'm out. That's not an experience that's for me. So I didn't get the dip. I got a little bit of gravy, and I got, what was it, a regular size sandwich, Morgan? I got the regular, right?
You got the entire unboxing experience of it as well. The unbagging experience of it.
The unbagging experience. That's right. Yeah,
I can't believe you came all the way to Chicago just to do it wrong. That's incredible.
You know what I kept doing for a little bit for my first couple of days in Chicago is I found a gummy hot dog and I took a picture. I ate it. I took a picture of it before I did. And then I kept going up to my friends that I know out there being like, buddy, I had my first Chicago hot dog and it was all right. It was pretty good. And then I showed them a picture of the gummy hot dog and people did not like that as much as I thought they would.
Because you're supposed to put a gummy tomato on it.
Yeah, you're insulting our heritage. Where's the gummy giardinara?
Well, okay, well, they didn't have that. That's, I guess, what might have been more insulting. But I thought it was funny to be like, look, obviously I had a hot dog, but look at what I'm doing as a little joke between friends who like each other. You know what I mean? People did not like that bit as much as I thought they would.
Let me tell you, the more I hear about your food adventures in Chicago, we're rapidly approaching a not liking each other scenario.
Michael,
we're going to DEFCON 2.
I had Portillo's 3 times. I got something different every time. Look, it wasn't like I was like, hey, guys, we got to go back to Portillo's. Portillo's was fine. Like, it was all right. It was one of those places that I was like, sure, I'll go back. I get why it's popular, but also like, oh my God, I need a minute. You know
I've
what
never
I mean?
Seen
like, so much.
I've never seen a man more intimidated by a sandwich.
It was a huge sandwich. I asked for the regular and it was okay.
Back in the war.
Back in the war, you saw the sandwich. It just
oh
hits.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's not going to take me alive.
Let me tell you, this was a real sub sandwich. Oof. Fired missiles and everything.
Jesus. Michael with the puns.
Did I kill this bit dead?
Yes, a little bit, but it's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I went to Portillo's with Morgan. I went to Portillo's with Jason Alt.
What?
Boss man. Yeah, yeah. He was like, we got to go to Portillo's. And I was like, sure, let's go to Portillo's.
Did he get beef all over his tracksuit?
Oh, he got beef, but I don't know that he got it all over his tracksuit. I think he made sure it wasn't as messy as that. He got the beef. I got a hamburger. I thought, you know what? Let me try the hamburger at Portillo's. Best thing I've had at Portillo's the entire time I was there.
Solani is vibrating.
Oh, my God.
Solani is vibrating with anger.
Look.
No, look. I don't know. I'm one of those heathens that lives really close to an Al's Beef, okay? It's literally a block down the street from me. I could go to an Al's Beef and get, like, $6 chili, and it's great, and I love it. And I could get the hot dogs. I could get the dip. I could get everything I ever wanted in my life. And you're just coming in here. Insulting mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. This is worse than the time you said that Selesnya was trash. You know what? I'm going to double down. Rakdos, bad.
Okay, well, now you're just acting out, and that's fair. Like, I hurt your feelings by having a correct food opinion, but, like, you know, you can, it's okay. I still like you. Okay? Does that help at all?
A little.
Does it help at all that I still like you?
Just a little, okay?
Okay.
Did you guys eat anything at the convention center when you were there?
I did.
Because
I did.
Yeah, I had the Connie's.
The Polish sausage. I don't know if you saw those walking around, but that was like an extra limb for a lot of people covered in onions
Massive.
And ketchup and mustard.
Colossal meal.
And let me tell you, I bought one for $13, immediately proceeded to not be able to find a table for about 10 minutes. So I'm sitting there with a cold Polish sausage.
Must have been Saturday.
So yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
But guess what? I ended up sitting on the floor near the panel and watching Mark Rosewater talk about his top 20 mechanics of all time.
That's fun.
And Threshold and Flashback were on that list.
Your favorites.
And as an Odyssey girly, I was validated.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, when you said that you were sitting on the floor to eat your food, I was afraid you were going to say you sat on top of a currently happening Commander game on the floor of the con at Chicago, because my God, Saturday was a show. Sorry, Ken, it was a show. Straight up, there was no room to play on Saturday. You had to kind of get in where you fit in, and people were playing games on the floor outside the actual convention center, but in the building, it was wild. But you know what? I thought it was kind of cool that people were playing on the floor like I did when I was a kid, you know?
No way, man. Imagine going to a movie theater and buying a ticket to, like, Madame Web, which of course has sold out tickets across the country because it's such a fantastic film. Anyway, you go in there and everybody's got a seat and you've just got to sit on the floor in the fire exits, you know? It's like, if one of those cards catches on fire because, like, they're smoking while they're playing, I don't know. Maybe they're playing a card that just combusts spontaneously. You're going to be trapped.
Look,
everyone's
going to
be on the floor.
I'm just trying to make a silver lining out of this. Because there was some sort of like sweetness to see people playing on the ground because It happened when I was on my way to see Shivam and Wheeler's podcast. They had Chris Mooney talking about how they led a new Kopenik commander. And before the podcast happened, right at the right in front of the panel's table, just like these youngins playing Magic on the floor, right there waiting for the panel to start. It was awesome. People like kept walking over and looking over and being like, sick. This is what it's all about. You know, like, so I do think that there's a little bit of a magic to that. One magic. Okay. You know what I mean? Magic. You shut up. Another cool thing. Pro Tour happened. Seth Mansfield took it down again.
Yep.
With a truly, honestly, I didn't expect to see a murderous at Karlov Manor card being such a splash, but of all cards, Vein Ripper being a key
so
piece
cool, dude.
To the Pioneer. I mean, unbelievable. I immediately was like, where can I get a copy of this before it shoots up? And I was on CardSphere looking for copies. I know, Morgan, you had one.
I'm still looking for a foil, yeah. Because anything demon, I love black. It's not like probably my favorite color, but like anything like vampire assassin, like the flavor text, I'm afraid your investigation has reached a dead end. Like, come on. You got a 6/5 flyer. Look at, he's
emphasis
got nine.
On investigation.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. So I've got that about 75% of market on CardSphere. If you have a foil Vein Ripper, please send it to me. It needs to go with my demons, the rest of my black nasty stuff that I need in Esper.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get the dossier version?
I don't like the dossier
version. Because that's a white card, Solani. Yeah. I'm looking for a black card.
Morgan.
There's black.
Thank you,
there's
Morgan.
Black pips in
I'm
the-
looking for a black Vein Ripper.
Yeah.
To be honest, when I see those like old border artifacts that have one or more colors and they're like the gold border
brown
instead of the artifact. Yeah, that drives me absolutely insane.
I hear you.
They should have just made a new border that was old, you know, just go ahead and doctor up a new border that was supposed to come out
border.
20 years.
Wizards. Take notes.
Yeah. You know, like antiques.
Take notes.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We're learning
like
here.
Fake antiques, you know, go for
I'm
it.
I'm looking at. I do see one. I'm on CardSphere right now, and I'm looking at one that's only $20, and I think I might have to take it. It is.
Is it on the marketplace? Like you can get it right now? Because I have it on my wants, but like I'll.
I can add it to my cart.
You better not. You better. You're adding it to my cart,
okay,
and then you're sending it to me.
It's not foil.
Ah!
I'm not looking at a foil.
Dang it!
I'm looking at a regular. Either way, yeah.
Remind me of that time we were playing at the convention. It was like you and Jason and your boyfriend.
Oh, man.
And
here we
like,
go.
Someone gave Jason a pack. It's like, whoever kills Jason first gets this pack. And I was playing my Arden deck, the one that's supposed to Voltron other creatures, but I never ended up doing that.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I kept coming in trying to kill Jason, and your boyfriend kept f-ing stopping me. Sorry.
Oh, my
Ken.
God, Michael.
Just kept stopping me. And I'm like, I wanted that pack. You know what? He won it for you, because at the end of the game, he gave that pack to you, and it was the sweetest thing ever.
What a
I was
sweetie.
Still mad at the point.
All
at
right.
That point.
But all right, all
now
right,
I
all right.
Morgan's boyfriend's a sweetie.
So he knows, like, I'm, like, irrationally obsessed with Fallout, just like Jason is, so I know he was not a fan of this
Jason
being
loves Fallout.
The name of the game when it came to him being the archenemy, but, you know... I'm just there. I had the Urza precon. I was making a 2,000 construct every turn, just kind of hanging out. But and I felt bad, Solani,
yeah,
because
were,
I Solani, I know you whiffed like a couple times, and it was just like really rough because you know just one of those things. It's like brutal. But Jason was taking my stuff like every turn, so I think it was a good game in spite of difficulties with someone new to Commander.
I mean,
oh yeah, that guy's Kenrith deck was ridiculous.
It's
he
too
just
much
kept playing good things.
It's
constantly.
Too much.
It was so obnoxious.
Kenrith,
too much.
Unbelievable.
Like, oh, good God, you know,
Michael. Which Arden is? Do you have Arden with a partner?
Yeah, with Jessica.
Is this one that you wrote about on Commander's Herald?
Well, when I wrote about it, it was back on Reddit. It was Arden and Silas, because the point was you're supposed to equip Spy Kit to someone and then cast Eradicate. Which would get rid of all the creatures in their deck.
Wow.
That's so rude.
You monster.
You know, the odds of that happening have to be like 1 in a million, right?
Sure.
I'll find Atlantis before that happens.
I mean, that's fun, though. And do you have a list somewhere?
Yeah, I've got a list.
I'm trying to find it right now.
You want it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I'll send you my list.
Hit me with the Architect link.
We're doing some deals.
Give me the Architect link right now.
Oh my God.
I want to save it. Perfect. So you had an Asylus instead of Jessica before? Wild pick. All right. Well, we've got apparently downtime before we get a call because we got to talk about Vein Ripper. Morgan's waiting on it on Cardsphere. Michael sent me his Architect link. We talk about Chicago. You know what? Chicago was fun. I did a bunch of shows in Chicago and you guys came to them. And that was really nice. I really liked that. Thank you so much for coming to the show. I mean, there was so much cool stuff happening. We met Mark Rosewater. You know, we got to hang out with a couple of past and future guests at the con. I got a bunch of games in with like Rachel Weeks and Dan Sheehan. Met Jimmy face to face.
Mike, I can't believe you met Joe Biden.
Joe Biden was there.
Joe Biden was only there on Saturday. Which was rough, yeah. But we did wait in line. I did pay somebody and expensed it through work to stand in that line for us.
You got a task rabbit.
Yeah.
Mike, do you even know who Joe Biden is?
Joe Biden. He's that guy that like Ixalan. So when they were like focusing on creature types, Joe Biden was like, I think we should make one dinosaur. And that's who they were like, you know what? Let's get you in the room with us. He's a great designer search winner.
What are you talking about?
Dinosaurs, Joe Biden. Pirates.
No, do you genuinely know who Joe Biden is?
Of course, Michael, I'm not an idiot. Of course I
don't know who your
Biden
president is or prime
we
minister.
Don't have okay, so you know enough to know prime minister is the correct thing.
There's only two options. Countries either have a president or a prime minister. There's no other option.
Or
they have
a guy. They have a guy.
They have a guy. I know a guy.
Do we have a guy on the phone? Do we have somebody, not a guy,
quick,
but...
somebody call me the guy of Madagascar.
You're the guy of Madagascar. Do we have anybody on the lines?
We have a caller.
We have a caller. How long have they been waiting?
Patient. This entire time. So that's about 20
Morgan.
Minutes.
Morgan, you know you're supposed to tell us when these things happen.
Yeah, you're supposed to let us know.
You know, they're simmering. It's like a good stew. You gotta let it get all hot and then...
Gotta let the gabagool...
I get it.
You gotta get the gaba ghoul and the kaba corn in the stew and, you know, cook it down a little bit. You've been to Chicago. You know what Illinois is like now. There's corn on every street corner.
Yeah, we dip our sandwiches.
I can't believe you snuck in a kaba corn right before we take a caller.
I put one in your suitcase. You just haven't found it yet.
Oh my God.
But you will soon. It's gonna
smell. Let's take this call. We gotta take this call. Here we go.
Amara, goddess of blunder, is on the line.
Woo! Oh boy, I'm thrilled we got a caller on the line. Caller, who is this? Where are you calling from? What's going on? How's it going?
Hey, what's going on? This is Amara from Buffalo, New York. I'm just calling in. Very excited to be on the line. What's happening?
Amara, the goddess of blunder herself?
That is me, Plane Chase Queen.
Plane Chase Queen. It's already, we are already talking about this.
Yeah, I've got to bring it right up to the Plane Chase.
Now, Amara, you call yourself the Plane Chase Queen. Why is that? Why do you call yourself the Plane Chase Queen?
Because I play a lot of Plane Chase. I've been pushing it for like the last 2 years. I've forced it on so many people. I'm like, hey, have you played Plane Chase? I don't know how many people I've introduced to it. I had no idea that it existed. So, yeah.
You know, 1v1 Plane Chase can be wild, but introducing it to Commander game where you see more and more planes because people are like, we need to get off of this one. And then three other people are like, no, 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 please don't. Please don't. Please don't. It's just such a wild format. No game's ever the same. It's beautiful. And now we have even more planes and phenomena. Thanks to March of the Machine Commander Precons and the Doctor Who Commander Precons, which first thing I did when I bought my Plane Chase cards from that set was I tagged you in it being like, guess what came in the mail?
I was so excited when those came out.
I'm thrilled. I mean, I'm glad you're calling in because, you know, we crossed paths at Commander Sealed back in, August, September?
Yep, September. September.
And we didn't get to play any games, but I wish we had because you're probably the only person there that had the Plane Chase deck ready to go.
That I was.
Let me tell you, if I've got 3.5 hours to kill, I'm playing a Plane Chase deck and I'm making sure that I don't I don't play any wins just yet. I want to see as much as I can.
Exactly. Travel around. See what's going on. You never know. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it makes it for just like a really fun game that never tells the same story.
Right. Plane Chase Queen. Amara, have you played enough Plane Chase where you see a plane and you're like, oh, that one.
Oh, yes.
I know exactly what it does.
Well, even the Doctor Who precons, like I played. That's all I did for like a week long. We were playing. I played 12 games of Plane Chase that week. And like, so I was just seeing certain planes would come up and I'm like, oh my gosh, like some of those new Doctor Who planes, like they will kill you. They will kill you.
Can you give me an example, which because I haven't even looked over these yet. I just went to my LGS's site and I clicked add them all in there. And I haven't even gone through them. They just got here.
Yeah, there's one that is basically a Dark Confidant. And like at the beginning of your upkeep, you flip a card and whatever mana value it is, you lose that much life, but you get to draw the card. And like later games, everybody's just like, I don't draw a bomb. Don't draw a bomb. And like we had one game where the plane killed everybody except for the person who actually won. I was like, oh, yep, that's a thing apparently.
You know what? Playing Plane Chase when a lot of these trigger on upkeep must make the Ninth Doctor really fun to play with, huh?
Oh, yeah. There's some there's some really fun planes. They really went all out with it and just had fun with it, I feel like. It. Like, the March of the Machine ones, they were like, hey, this has Myriad, because we didn't have a plane that did that yet.
Right.
Or whatever. And then, so, these ones, there's a lot of weird powers and things that go off and like just make it even more interesting.
Well, like there's one, like one of them, the first one that I read here is like Amy's home is like at the beginning of your upkeep or when you planeswalk to it, which thank God they added that, by the way,
because
sometimes you'd flip a plane and nothing would happen. But the idea is like you can exile a card from your hand and give it to spend and just let it ride from there. That's sick.
Yeah. I've had people just do that, just dump their whole entire hand on that one. I'm just like,
they get through it,
you may as well. I mean, if you're gonna
get it
for a discounted price, I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't need these cards.
The discounted price of time. You gotta have your turns,
yeah,
or you better be clock spinning, baby.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wild that we're at a time where clock spinning is back in the relevance of it all, huh?
I know, it's so weird that suspend is a thing that is dangerous now.
You know what I didn't have on my like bingo card for, and I hate myself for being like, oh, bingo card. I'm doing the hack thing. But you know what I didn't expect from this year at all? Cards with vanishing on them.
Oh, yes.
Vanishing being like the fixed fading, right? Because people were playing fading like it was vanishing and they were like, you guys want vanishing so hard? Here's vanishing.
Yeah.
You know?
They keep doing that with some of the rules and powers. They're like, hey, we'll just make it slightly different, but we renamed it.
I wonder what mechanic inspired this this kind of comment. Huh?
It's like an Ixalan.
Discover.
I'm like, yep, that's just a fixed version of Storm. Or not Storm, but
Cascade. You know what mechanic needed? Needed fixing. You know what mechanic needed the fixing? The Cascade.
Oh,
yeah. The one that's broken modern.
let's just add another Cascade, you know? And one that actually you can manipulate much better.
Yeah. One that doesn't, like, hey, if you don't cast the spell with Cascade, we're going to put this with Discover, and it's an ETB. Have fun, Blink decks.
Yeah, I'm just like, that is so silly to me. It's like, that was your punishment for playing Cascade decks when you get a counter spell or whatnot.
Exactly. Or you hit an X spell. You got like one X spell in the deck. You're like, hope I don't Cascade into it. Ah, man, my Villainous Wealth, the card I wanted to have in hand.
Yeah, that's your punishment. Jeez. Like, you get the free cards, but you know what? Sometimes...
Way to oopsie into it, ding dong. It's too bad. That's your punishment for, deal with it, you know? Now it's at the bottom of your library. How you like that?
It's your punishment.
I wonder, can you think of any mechanics that you're like, what if they quote-unquote improved this but made it way too strong? Like, even the basic mechanics, like double strike? Nah, triple strike. It's already an unstable or whatever.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, let's just... I feel like everything just keeps getting, I don't know, inched up a little, a notch each time.
I mean, the fact that the white mythic from Ixalan, the god, is triple tokens.
Yeah, like
I think we're there.
Like, are we in like 10 years? We'll be quad tokens. You're like, yeah.
I think at that point, if they pull that off, they'll have to put some sort of like super legendary thing, like they did in the mystery booster sheet of like playtest cards, where you can only have one of this creature in your deck and sideboard.
Yeah, they should. I'm surprised they actually haven't added that as a thing, because I mean, a lot of different card games and stuff do that now, where you can only have one of this card because like it's overpowered. Like they know that it's overpowered.
Exactly. We're at that point. Oh, God, I love deck building so much. I need to chill. Yeah.
I have like 14 decks behind me that are just piles of cards that I'm like, ooh, these can go in this deck. This can go in this deck.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, I don't have enough plastic sheets anymore. I was like, either I got to start deconstructing things.
That's where I'm at. I took apart a deck last night that really hurt. I'll tell you what, this is, you know, we're there. I've had a Timna and Ravos clerics deck since 2016. And I just realized I haven't been playing it at all. And it's got all those onslaught clerics I love very much. I've even got like a Battletide Alchemist and foil for it and everything. And I was like, ooh, look at me go. This is a deck that I'm going to use a lot. I took it out, took it for a last spin for a goldfish. And I was like, you know what? This is just not it anymore. And that's important because now I can build Slimefoot and Squee because it's been on the back burner next to the Ninth Doctor and Claire Oswald and the Master Formed Anew and all those other ones. There's so many cool cards that come out.
Yeah, I can't even keep up.
Yeah, right. And it's like, it's part of our job to keep up because you want to be on the forefront of like, hey, a new thing came out. I want to feature it on my channel, or like I have to write about it when it comes set review time. It is wild that like, oh, we're probably the people who would know the most about what's coming out. But we're also like, please slow it down. We love it so much.
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have Slimefoot and Squee sitting behind me, and like all my fungus and my thallids.
Oh yeah, Slimefoot and Squee were so fun to see when they popped when they were previewed. I was like, that's my Jund commander. I don't think I've ever had a Jund commander. This is it. This is the one that I'm ready to build. Meanwhile, I'm looking at the piles of Rakdos decks that I've been trying to build. The Mishra claimed by Gix has been waiting since Brothers War, and there's a lot of fun commanders out there that I just really wish it were easier to build without having to be like, well, this piece costs $100. And
yeah, so needing a whole entire new land base every single time.
Every single time. And then you get to an event or like you have your friends come over to play some games and you open the deck box and you're like, well, I have 30 decks. This one's new and I made all six of these at the same time. Which do people want to play against? And then they say, hey, you know what I haven't seen in a while is your mono blue mill deck that you weren't telling us was one of the choices. And I'm like, you're right, I should play that. That sounds like fun.
Like, I really want to play my new deck.
I know. I have a Ariette of the Charmed Apple deck that I brought with me to Commander Sealed, and I put it together the week before. Some pieces I was literally like, I'm gonna buy from a vendor over there, that's for sure. And I remember pulling up and being like, this is the first deck I'm gonna play. And somebody sat next to me and they were like, hey, I heard you brought like your fancy Lizolda deck. And I was like, I did. And I'm gonna play that against you right now. I'm gonna have to.
Like, I don't want to, but I guess I will.
That's like, I love that deck so much, so I won't say no, but it is not the first deck I wanted to play.
It's like I built Agatha and I don't think I played her until the last day. Ooh. Like I was like, haha, I built this deck. I got this all ready. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cosplay as Agatha. I was like, I'll play in the costume. And then, it took me the whole entire day to get to that point where I think it was day two at like the very end. I finally got to play it. And I was like, I did all this work. I was like, that's what I wanted to play. And then I played it and I was like, oh, this is disgusting. I was like, I feel terrible right now.
Agatha seems really sick, but I'll say, you know what keeps me away from decks? The color green. That's what tends to keep me away from a deck. It doesn't pull me in. I have had one new green deck in the last year or two, and that's like Mike and Will from Stranger Things, or Wernog and Othelm from Universes Within, and that's the last green deck I've made. I'm looking at Slimefoot and Squee, so here comes another one. Maybe I'm maturing.
I green is not my favorite color.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just does everything. Like, I can just go and find a card that will go in there.
I just feel like, personally, like, I used to be a very green player. The first deck I ever got was, like, the green Stompy deck from, like, 7th edition with Thorn Elemental and Ancient Silverback. I remember that deck like it was in front of me right now, you know? And it was the first deck, the first Magic product I ever got was that and the how to play tutorial on the computer. And I loved that. But then as I started to realize the power of black, I'm like, this is my color. And so every deck I have is mostly black centered.
That's where I started, was black. And then I slowly went over to red for a while when I was playing like standard and stuff, because burn decks are always classics.
Yeah. That's the thing. When I started Commander, I was staunchly anti-red. I was like, I don't see the value in playing red. And now at the time, red was not doing great. And then about 2015, they started printing some extra goodies for red to be more competitive. But this was at a time where people were like, white's the worst color. And I was like, I think white's pretty great. You guys are missing out.
White has always been great. People crap on stacks all the time. But like, stacks is white's one of its things. It slows you down to their point. It's something you need to work around.
And those games have been like fun. Unexpected stacks, not so much unexpected stacks, I'll say. If we're sitting at a table and we're like, hey, do we trust each other? It's like, yes, we do. I'm playing a little bit of stacks. I'll be like, okay, let's see what you got. And then you get to play against some stacks. You're like, how do I get out of this? And you deal with some frustration while playing the game. But as long as that there are moves to make and attempts to be made, stacks can be pretty fun.
Yeah, I like the whole entire puzzle aspect of trying to figure out games a lot of times.
That's the most attractive part.
Yeah, like on Thursday, I was playing a game. It was just a giant puzzle. All four of us had these ridiculous boards. They were all doing different things. So I was just trying to figure out, okay, my deck can win in multiple different ways. I was like, I just need to figure out how to stop these other three players or get them to stop each other.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that people forget all the time, is that other players, it's cool to take somebody out and be the second player left. But like, sometimes you need those other players.
100%.
Sometimes you can't win yourself. That's just so taking out that person and being, hey, I got third place. That fourth place person, because sometimes is what you needed. They might have the spells that you don't have to take out enchantments or take out like artifacts and things that need to be taken out. I like to think ahead. Like, I look at the board and I'm like, okay, if I take this person out, this is going to make me a target, or it's going to make that person a target, and I need that person. There's a whole entire dynamic to it all. And I think sometimes it's forgotten.
Yeah. I liken this to like the jury management side of Big Brother. Do you know the reality show Big Brother?
Yeah.
So for those listening who don't know Big Brother is you get a bunch of people living in a house together. There's challenges and stuff, but every week there's somebody who nominates two people to be evicted, and they get evicted. And at the end, when there's nine people left, the last seven folks to be evicted, leaving the last two behind, they become the jury of the Big Brother finale, and they decide who wins $500,000 or whatever. I forget what the prize amount is. And there is a really great Big Brother player named Paul who would win a bunch of challenges, who would orchestrate people's evictions. His game in the house was amazing. However, he got to the finale twice, once in like an all-star thing and once regular season, his first season, and he lost to genuinely and honestly some of the worst players Big Brother has ever seen, because his jury management was awful. Because the people in the jury were like, well, I don't like how he did this to me, or I didn't like the way he handled this. And they would rather award somebody who barely played the game money than the guy who literally played the game perfectly, besides this one aspect. So I liken this like, hey, I can't, if I take out this player, it will be known to the table that I am a threat.
Exactly.
Like, that's your jury management. You know what I mean? You take somebody out and you're like, well, this perception of the people who are going to now decide your fate, they're aware of how you do it. They don't like how you do it. They're coming for you. That kind of thing.
Exactly. And sometimes that is even choosing your attacks and stuff.
Right.
Like knowing that, oh, if I do this, this player is going to be upset about what I did and they're going to come for me or they're going to turn their attentions to me.
Right. there's also other situations where, like, I love reanimating stuff. Sometimes I need something in that person's graveyard, and I need to keep them around so I can take it from them. You know,
or I stole something from them, and I need to keep it until the end of the game.
Okay, so this is going to be a quick question, a quick aside before we get into a pet peeve, because you came up, you said something, and it jogged something in me, which is even the way you attack is going to have an effect on how people think. This is why, personally, I don't have a problem early on in the game if somebody goes with a little dice roll to decide, hey, I have this 2-1, I want to swing at somebody, nobody's got blockers, let me roll a d6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Divided by 3 and pick somebody randomly to attack. I don't mind that early on. However, later on in the game, if you're still making your decisions with a die, I'm not a big fan of that, but I can see why you would want to if you're trying to keep your under the radar status low, except now you've got me being upset about it.
Now
what's
your
take on this?
Bing, bing. Uh-huh. Like, uh-huh. This person is specifically just trying to avoid conflict and become the threat, or that it's known that they are actually up to something.
what's your thought on, like, the splitting an attack or something where you could see, like, oh, I guess maybe I'll do this, like, a big shrug at that.
I'm not a fan of it. Like, at the beginning of the game, I don't mind, like, especially if somebody has, like, pumped up their commander crazily, like, on turn 3 or something like that. That I understand. You don't want to make enemies 7 turns in. Enemies have been made, blood feuds have been started. Like, it's just, if you're still not making decisions, then most likely, you're probably either building up your board state for a reason. There's always a reasoning behind it.
It is interesting how much information is given in a Magic game. So, for instance, if I'm going to attack and I've got a massive board and I have a bunch of stuff and I have open attacks on each of my 3 opponents, but I send the bulk of the attacks to 2 players, and the one in the middle I kind of just send 2, you know, just kind of like a hand waving, like, look, I attacked everybody,
here we go. I have to send something to you as well.
Right, exactly. Doesn't that give away information that says that you don't see them as a threat, and B, probably have a way to take care of them in the end?
Exactly, there's all
that information.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times that information is just overlooked, or just that, I don't know, players don't realize that. I don't know. I've been playing Magic for 30 years, so, like, I can see through people's bull most of the time. like, I've already planned out my next turn before my turn rolls around again. Like, I've already looked at the board state. The only thing I'm looking at is what you're doing, what attacks you've made, what mana you've left open. Like, I'm watching all the other little triggers that might change what I'm gonna do, but, like,
I'll say, when it comes to being more casual with it in a setting where there's no stakes, I'm a little less attentive that way, you know what I mean? Like, I'm here to have a good time. I'm not here to, like, hey, I'm at the top of my game. Like, I'm enjoying the things that I'm experiencing. But I'll say, like, at Commander Sealed, it's coming up a bunch because that's where we met, and this is the last time I played in more of a high-stakes environment. I played Commander Sealed, and in my first game, I remember being, like, eyes wide open. Like, I don't think my eyes have ever gone that open, and I was making sure that I was taking in, okay, this guy just choosing not to attack with his death-touching commander that gets something back from his graveyard. He's afraid of somebody at the table. Who's he afraid of? What's he seeing that I don't see? He doesn't have something to remove it with. You know what I mean? So being able to play like that, that's really cool and really fun. But so, it's
I
exhausting.
Wish my brain would just shut up. That's my problem, is, like, my brain just doesn't shut off. So, like, Magic makes sense to me, but everything else in the world doesn't. Like,
oh, God, you preach it. Let me tell you something. I have learned so much more from Magic than I have from, like, most things. And it feels crazy to say as much, but, like, I have found that Magic has taught me, like, on a base level, new vocabulary, has taught me the initiative to, like, to want to, like, go learn what some things mean, and deductive reasoning, puzzle, like, piecing together a puzzle,
social aspects.
Exactly. And it feels like this game has given me way more than just, hey, I write for CommanderSeral.com. I'm getting paid to talk about Magic, that's for sure. But it's given me, like, friendships that I wouldn't have had otherwise. but it's also given me this way of thinking that like it helps contextualize life stuff. You know what I mean? I get to use it for, you know, hey, this is happening here with this. Like, how do I apply it? Well, what if it was a game of math? Like, how would I approach it that way? Or that person, why do they make me feel uneasy? Well, okay, well, what if I broke them down with the color pie? Oh, I can see what we don't align on. You know what I mean? It's been definitely a game that's affected me in a large way. And I guess like 30 years of playing Magic is definitely going to be like a big deal for you as well.
Yeah, it's been such a big part. Like when I was younger, like it helped with my reading comprehension, helped with mathematical skills and things like that.
Huge. Yes.
Like I couldn't get my focus on like schoolwork and things like that. So like comic books and Magic basically helped me become a person.
Hell yeah. No, absolutely. It's exactly it. It's exactly it. Hey, guys, you should. Hey, people listening, you should get into this little game we're talking about called Magic the Gathering. It's pretty cool.
All the cool kids are playing.
Having played Magic for, you said 30 years, which is wild.
Yeah.
Having played as long as you have, you must have come across like certain things that kind of rub you the wrong way. What would you say is like your pet peeve, whether it's Magic in general or specifically Commander? If you've got to say, what would be your pet peeve?
People judging the power levels of their decks. Like, because I have played so often, and like when I schedule games and stuff, we discuss what decks are going to play. I can look over your deck and I can see where things are wrong. I can tell whether or not something is going to balance itself out against these other decks that you're playing against, and be like, okay. And some people just don't have that capacity, but like they don't realize, yeah, throwing all the OG dual lands in your deck, yeah, it makes your deck, it increases its power level. That's just
it smooths it out. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's making it better against everybody else's when everybody else is using tap lands and things that come into play. So there's just little things like that that I'm just like, yeah, okay. I'm like, I'm gonna play this deck just so I can balance the pod out. Like, just
I see. So is it particularly like the own, like not necessarily the onus, but the pressure you put on yourself to balance the pod? Or is it more like, hey, this deck's a 7, and then you see like, that's a Mana Crypt on turn 1. What's a Mana Crypt doing in a 7?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's kind of both. And because we're streaming, when it's an entertaining game, or you can tell when the other players are just like miserable, and the other person is just like, I'm playing over here, and they're playing for like a half an hour, and we're just all like, do we get to play? That's not good for a stream. So like it's just like a whole entire thing of just trying to balance it out so everybody is having fun and everybody gets to do their thing.
Yeah. So I guess your pet peeve is kind of decks that don't kind of pass the vibe check at the table.
Yeah, because like especially that happens when you play with random people, when you go to cons and things like that. Because like people will give you a sentence description of their deck, and then the next thing you know, you're just like, oh, I should not have chosen this deck to play against these people.
Like sometimes it ends up in the other way where like you're having too easy of a time, you know, you're the one that's stopping around, you're like, oh, I didn't want this. Yeah, be like, hey, I'm showing up, I've got a Prosper deck. It's exactly what you think a Prosper deck is, but it's also not as competitive as a CDH like attempt at a Prosper deck, but it's still like I'd put it at a 9.
Yeah.
And people are like, I'm gonna play this like little soldier aggro deck that that doesn't quite get going until turn 5. And I'll be like, right, well, turn 1, here's my commander, and next turn I have lots to do and you're dead.
Like, sorry.
Yeah,
that's like a lot of my theme decks and stuff. Like when I'm playing against people, I'm like, okay, I can't play this. This is not going to be entertaining for anybody. As like, I'm just going to be sitting here wheel spinning. Yeah. Like, maybe turn 6 will come around. Maybe I get another chance.
I do love a theme deck. And when Rachel Weeks told me about her Eloise theme deck, the one where it's like a murder mystery.
Oh yeah.
And it's like a bunch of legendary Dimir creatures. And Eloise has to find out who the killer is or something. Theme decks make for like really interesting games. Speaking of interesting games and the reason for the call, Amara, do you have a story where you think, huh, maybe I might have been the bolus here. Oh, am I the bolus?
It happened here on the, am I the like two cast? Weeks ago. I'm pretty sure I am the bolus in that game. I was playing my Lightpaw's deck. Lightpaw's is disgusting. Everybody, yeah. Nobody wants to play against Lightpaw's. I only get to bust the deck out like once or twice a year. And
just for those listening who might not know Lightpaw's, Lightpaw's is super efficient. A 2-mana 2/2 Fox Advisor for 1 and a white. So you're in mono white, but the text box is just wild. Whenever an aura enters the battlefield under your control, if you cast it, you may search your library for an aura card with mana value less than or equal to that aura with a different name than each aura you control, and put that card onto the battlefield attached to Lightpaw's, then shuffle. So you cast an aura, you get another one of equal value.
You go tutor for it, basically. You're like, hey, why didn't I have it in my hand? Let me go see. And basically, my Lightpaw's deck is built to keep, I mean, it's a Voltron deck, obviously.
Right.
And
right.
It has so many ways to keep her alive, to wipe whole entire boards and keep her on the board. And just,
yeah, of course.
It's got so many, it's got stacks pieces to slow everybody else down. Like, it's
mono white.
Yep. And I made my friend. Wanted me to come on stream. They wanted to upgrade their deck, so they said they would just keep playing that deck until somebody could stop them, and they told me to bring whatever I wanted. So I came to the stream with Lightpaw's. Turn 3, I killed them with commander damage. They did not even get their commander out. I felt terrible about it. And then I was like, turn 4, I killed the next player. Turn 5, I killed the next player. I was like,
yeah.
Like I was playing against Atla, Polani there, Villis, and
Villis Broker of Blood, okay.
Yeah, and the Gruul commander that makes the wolves. What is her name? She was the
Tovalar?
She was the D&D.
Faldorn.
Yeah.
Dreadhorde Herald or something?
Yeah, that just makes tons and tons of wolves by exiling things. That was the deck that needed to be defeated. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I was like, and I just added new things to Lightpaw's. She's disgusting. I love her so much.
I'll say I didn't expect this to be where the story went. Because, first of all, if you're bringing the Voltron deck to the table when it can be as consistent and easy to play as a Lightpaw's deck, automatically it's like, well, we know this is going to be a higher powered situation, right? You got the commander. You know, it's like a commander that allows you to tutor multiple times. Like, this is a deck that you're going to have to know well. You're going to have to, like, pilot properly. And it's one that's going to win by commander damage. This is all information you have by looking at the commander, sitting in the command zone. But I think the most important part of this story is your friend was like, my deck's been undefeated. Come at me. Like, anybody got what they got? And then you were like, well, like, I guess, I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those cases where, like, hey,
you got what you asked for.
Somebody challenged you to a fight and you elbowed them in the jaw and they're like, my jaw. And you're like, well, is that, do I win?
Exactly. Well, I know what my deck does. And every time it does it, I'm just like, yeah, I feel like a monster. But part of me is just like all proud of myself. I'm like, ha ha ha.
Do you feel bad for the other players more than you feel bad for your friend who was like, come at me, it's undefeated?
Yeah, I felt bad for the other players, but like they were trying to win as well. So like,
sure.
I had to kill them in a certain order. I was like, yeah. And the Villis player almost won, but didn't actually follow all the way through with what they needed to do. Or I guess Villis didn't.
Yeah. I'll say, I think this might be an easy vote for me and the crew after this call, because, hey, if somebody's like, hey, you better try to win against me, come on the stream, like, give me a challenge to win against, and you show up, did you mean, like, for real, or, because here's 21.
Yeah. So disgusting. Turn 3 commander damage is just
brutal. It's 100%. It's so brutal. Yeah. Hey, if I were sitting out at that table, I'd be like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, this is the opposite of the kind of game. I like games that get to turn 7.
Yeah.
And that's when people start doing, oh, I've got a couple cards that work together here.
That deck is, there's just so many ins and outs. I have so many ways to protect her. Even if you have ways to kill her,
for sure,
she's coming back. Like, it's a 2-mana commander.
Oh, 4 mana from the command zone.
in so many ways, just to bring enchantments back from graveyards.
They've gone off on those lately, too.
Oh, like, my God, that new enchantment that was in the enchantment deck. Songbird something.
Oh, Songbird's Blessing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Going and doing that and hitting an Eldrazi conscription is glorious. Like, you're cascading for enchantments.
To be fair, the Eldrazi conscription at that point is just, like, a buff because you don't get the Annihilator out of it, but... It's still Eldrazi conscription for free.
Yeah.
Songbird's Blessing is so good. I have it in my Ariette deck. It's a 4-mana aura for a creature. Whenever the enchanted creature attacks, you reveal from the top of your library until you hit an aura card, and you can put that into the battlefield or into your hand. And then you put the rest of the revealed cards in the bottom of your library in a random order, but it doesn't matter if, like, the next aura you flip, you get to put that on the battlefield, whether it's on one of yours or another. So, like, you could easily get, like, a Darksteel Mutation to put on their biggest blocker, or you can get, like, an Eldrazi Conscription, and that's enough. Even flipping into an All That Glitters is just, like,
All That Glitters.
That's game.
Not only that, you're throwing the Invocation on there, and then you're getting to go tutor off of that, so you're getting three enchantments out of the table.
Oh, wait, but that's not a cast. Okay, yeah. It would have to be a cast trigger for the Songbird to,
So otherwise you get four. But
I mean...
Yeah, so you put Songbird on there, go tutor, and then you go and cascade basically into another enchantment.
Unbelievable. That is... Oh, my God.
That is glorious.
Enchantress has been eaten well.
Oh,
I mean,
like two precons in a row.
I'll say that white... I expected white to be more of a primary Enchantress color than green. But I was putting together my Ariette deck, and let me tell you, green has all the draw effects for enchantments. Just every single one except for Mace Enchantress, which is just a Verdurin Enchantress time, like, color shifted.
Yeah.
And then you've got, like, Core Spirit Dancer and Strom, but it's all aura-based, and luckily that's what the deck needs. But looking at it, I'm like, well, come on, give me an Enchantress Presence in white. Give me something.
Yeah, and all the green ones are all, like, ETBs instead of cash triggers, too.
So good. Setessan Champion and Eidolon of Blossoms.
That freaking champion, I think. Whew. I had, like, a 42-42 one out the one time. I was just drawing, like, that precon, the new one there, it just does its thing. It can just wipe somebody out just as bad as Lightpaw sometimes.
I think it was included in both of the precons, the one with the Ellie Vare, and then the one for Wilds of Eldraine, and then, of course, the one from Commander Masters with Anixthia.
Yeah, she's really cool, too.
That's another one that's on my stack.
Yeah, I built her as soon as she came out. I was like, okay. I was like, Orzhov, and I got some green in here, too. Okay, fine.
Easy. I love Anixthia. I think she's incredible. I even bought the Ultra Pro sleeves where they've got the back is a picture of, like, the image of your commander.
That's how you know you really like a deck.
Well, that's the thing, is I got it because I had the precon. I was like, let me shuffle this up. And the first thing that happened is, like, three sleeves split. And this is, like, the kind of sleeve that only comes with 100. So you're like, hey, what do I do? And they're like, go back to your LGS and tell them to give you another one and they'll replace it. I'm like, you think I'm keeping receipts?
Yeah.
What do you think this? I'm going to show up to my LGS and be like, hey, this is busted. I'll be like, hey, man, shuffle softer.
You are not shuffling right. Like, well, I have been shuffling for 30 years and these leaves correct. So, yeah, I know what I'm doing by now.
Well, Imara, Goddess of Blunder, has been shuffling for over 30 years and has some fun insights today. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate you taking the time. Where can people find you? Where would you like them to check out your stream, your feeds? Tell everybody where they could find you.
Well, you can find me all over the internet. You can find me over on Twitter at Imara21, where I talk about magic, post pictures of cats. It's usually magic and cats. You can also find me over at twitch.tv/goddessofblunder, where I play on Sundays and Wednesdays and the occasional Friday, where we play some Plane Chase, play some Arch Enemy, other weird formats that I come up with because I like just trying out new things. There's all sorts of chaos rewards and stuff that viewers can actually cause us to go to other planes or give everybody treasures and do all that fun stuff because I just like to have as much chaos as I possibly can. And you can also find me over at everywhere else at Imara21 or over at Goddess of Blunder. You can find me everywhere. I'm everywhere.
everywhere. Thanks again for calling in, Imara.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Let's catch up with the rest of the crew where we'll determine if Imara is the bolus for taking somebody up on their challenge. Thank you so much for calling in, Amara. It's so nice to have you chat with us. And it was so nice to see you at Chicago, MagicCon Chicago, dressed as Judith, new Judith, Carnage Connoisseur. Even Mark Rosewater was like, I got to get a pic with you. Forgot to mention that before she called in. Really ace job on the cosplay, buddy. And thank you for calling in. But before we get too far into actually what the question was and what that story is, I want to talk about something that I completely forgot about for this last bit of releases. I love Plane Chase. I think Plane Chase freaking rules.
It does.
And I need Amara, if you're listening to this after your call, get me on your stream again. We got to reschedule me because I, you know what? Plane Chase is some of the most fun you can have playing Magic. It is chaotic. It's silly. It expands on the world. Like, I understand that some people aren't fans of the Doctor Who Plane Chase, but those are the same people that are upset about Doctor Who being a thing at all.
Yes, my favorite fantasy plane, Earth.
Yeah, well, true. It does say Earth on Coal Hill School right here. I don't know if you can read that. I have them on my desk.
Yeah, he really does. He just held them up to the camera.
I've got like a solid stack here. It's not even all of them. This is like
wow. That's a
yeah,
big
leave them and everything.
There are so many
big
now.
Pile.
There is some of these yeah, planner and cards are like 40, 50 bucks. Like some of them
are they?
Are oh yeah.
That can't possibly be right.
That
are you serious?
Feels wrong.
I swear to you. Not off the top of my head, but I know that because I've bought a lot of them. I had all the 2012 Plane Chase cards for a while, and then I had to rebuy some of them like probably 2 years ago because I wanted to get them back.
My girlfriend has a stack of them.
No way.
But not the real ones. She got a bunch of index cards.
Oh, okay.
And she literally wrote all of the planes on them to play.
Brilliant.
It's adorable.
Oh,
I've never played. So,
a lot of you have to. We've got to do it.
I feel like I'm being peer pressured right now.
I mean,
you are.
Kind of are. Okay, wow, I can't believe it. Some of these are pretty expensive, and I didn't expect that.
It's so fun. It's so worth it. I think it's like probably my favorite variant of EDH because it adds stuff to the mix. So like, if you've been playing the same deck forever, you add like some of these planar cards, you add like a cool new dice. Because if you look at the card, it has like the chaos effect, right? So it's something that happens when you roll the dice and hit that.
Right. Right.
You get like some cool new thing that happens that totally like knocks out Solani in his like ridiculous Rakdos deck that nobody likes.
Hold on.
Two things.
Everybody likes his Rakdos decks.
One, I don't play Rakdos decks because
You should.
Two, why would I ever get knocked out? I'm just too good at this game, you know. Is it your favorite variant too, Mikey? The man who is currently wearing an Oathbreaker shirt?
Yeah, no, I don't play Oathbreaker. I got this shirt at a con for free. It's a comfy shirt. I've never played Oathbreaker, but I'm not opposed to it.
See, so we're both sinners then.
Why? This is comfy apparel. It was given to me. Promotional item that fits well. Don't get mad.
Look, I'll play Plane Chase when you play Oathbreaker.
Okay, so I'll start making a deck tonight. Pull up my Archidect right now. I'll do it.
Okay.
Tameo, because that's the most colors. I don't know. I don't know what benefits Oathbreaker. I don't know what the strat is, but I'm going to do it. I swear I will.
If you say so.
If it gets you to play Plane Chase. Here's the thing about Plane Chase is that...
Hold on, wait a minute. Can I keep adding stuff to my conditions on whether or not I play Plane Chase?
Too bad.
Okay, you have to start an Oathbreaker game, and you also have to give me $20.
Okay, well, I'll give you $20, no problem.
Oh, sweet.
Sold. That's it. Done.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah. You don't even need to go anywhere else. We're done. It's good.
Wow.
Oh, buddy, don't even get me... You know what? I completely forgot that I could pick any of the Bolas Planeswalkers, but man, I could just also pick Gidron Dehada. Yeah, buddy. Oh,
Gidron
yeah.
Gidron Dehada is such a fun name to say.
It's such a wild
name. You're listening
name.
To this right now. Say it out loud or say it in your head if you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of your friends and coworkers.
Gidron Dehada. Yeah, I want to steal stuff. Give me that. That sounds fun. Anyway, I think I found my Oathbreaker commander, and I'm going to build it. Yeah, I'm going to build the Hada, and I'm going to send you this Archidect like right away, and you're going to be like, damn, he's quick, and now you're going to have to learn what Play Chase is. Okay?
Okay, sure.
So, you better. You better.
I better. Uh-huh.
You better.
Isn't Gay Drone to How to Have White in it?
No, Grixis. Anyway, we're getting off topic. We're pushing a little too far. Morgan, before we get to Amara's question, would you kindly remind the folks at home to briefly and succinctly, after receiving feedback from the listenership?
I've gotten threats.
What are... yeah, we've gotten a couple of threats. And so basically, Morgan, if you don't mind sharing what the...
You can't. You shot me already and I haven't even said anything. I can't just get preemptively shot.
No, that was a warning shot in the air.
Oh, you shot that in the air? Okay, so I didn't get shot.
No. Thunder Junction's not for another couple months.
Okay, that's...
Couple?
Is it that far back? I think it's just next month.
Is it really? Oh, it's, my God, it's March?
Basically it's tomorrow. March. It's basically tomorrow.
I think it might be out when this is out.
That's so terrifying.
Uh-huh.
Never ends.
And I'm excited for it. It does not end. Oh, okay.
Mr. Bones Wild Ride never ends.
Okay, so it comes out in April. So we have another 2 weeks after this comes out.
Oh, thank God. I can, like, go to sleep.
Sure, but I'm going to be brewing friggin' Fallout Commanders while you're sleeping. Morgan, again, succinctly, briefly, because of all the feedback we've received, please tell the audience about our voting system here at Am I the Bullcast?
Well, I mean, I guess I just say it in a different way that is more accessible to a majority of our listenership, which is that we all got votes. Some of us got votes that don't really mean anything. All right? They don't mean anything mathematically. They don't mean anything philosophically. Oh. But we do it anyway because we do it for fun. We do it because we like to pretend that our voice matters.
Just like real life.
And that this is our whole dog and pony show. Just like real life. So that means that myself and Michael Solani each have one singular vote that is worth 1 point, and that Carroza has 3 votes and will always outvote us in every decision we make.
Yeah, I get a vote that's worth 3 points.
But it's okay. We love it.
That's the bit.
We love it.
Unless you do absurd crap like split the votes.
Yeah, which we've decided last episode is apparently allowed.
Science can happen. That's the disclaimer there, is that science can happen.
If we could split an atom, we could split a vote.
Science can happen. Morgan Sanchez, 2024.
Honestly, that's our first shirt. Science can happen is probably the...
Oh, come on.
What? You think context matters?
Context matters.
No, I want
that,
too.
I don't think you can put that on a shirt without any consequence. That feels like a bad idea for a shirt.
Because of context. And that's what makes it great.
Because the Look. All we have to do is just not sell it to anyone who's got a YouTube profile picture of a marble statue, and we'll be fine.
Guys, this is going to be the longest episode we ever do. We got to get to the story. Morgan, tell us, this is a tough one to summarize, so I don't envy you. What's Amara's question here?
So Amara wants to know if she's the bolus for accepting a challenge in EDH.
Okay, that's one way to put it. I think I'll be the first to say context matters for this question.
Give us some context. You know what? No, Carroza has to give us context this time to kind of switch it up. Let's make things fresh. Solani gets no context. He'll be muted. He won't be able to listen to anything that we say.
Yeah.
And Carroza is going to be the one to give us the context in this.
Okay, so I'm guessing that you're going with, am I the bolus for accepting a challenge based on Amara being invited on a stream where somebody who played Faldor and Dreadwolf Herald, somebody was like, it's been undefeated, come bring your best deck and try to take me down. And Amara showed up with Light Paws, a Voltron Aura deck, and swept that game with 3 turns worth of commander damage. Light Paws, Emperor's Voice is a tier 2 CDH deck, Voltron deck. This guy was like, come do the stream and try to beat this undefeated deck. And Amara did it with little to no effort with a deck that is known for being strong. And Amara wants to know, am I the bolus for doing that? So, who wants to sound off first? Michael, you're grimacing.
I have no idea how to approach this. It's like, am I the bolus for winning?
Yes.
Like, I literally saw a Reddit post where someone was like, I've stopped trying to win and it makes me less salty at playing the game. It's like, okay, why though?
Sad.
Why would you play a game where you don't even try to win anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And like, here's a scenario where it's like, yeah, come at me, bro. And that happens. And you win, and it's like, I can't say that you're the bolus for doing that. You were literally goaded, like, in the original meaning of the word, not the terrible new Wizards of the Coast meaning of the word. You
were goaded
into bringing this deck, and you do it, and you win, and that's it. That's the end of the story. I don't think you could be the bolus. But I will say you're a bolus for doing it with a Light Paul's deck. If you were going to do this properly, you would beat this guy with a deck that's just absolute trash, you know? Just completely clown on this guy, you know? Just give me the Gabriel Angel fired. Put it down, hit this guy, 7 mana, does nothing, and win that way. That's the real challenge. In fact, I am challenging Amara right now to do that on stream.
Run it back.
Beat this guy properly. And when you do, then you can earn your Not the Bolas vote.
You know what? Okay? Do it with a Selesnya commander, because Solani has mentioned Gabriel Angel Fire, a commander he admits does nothing. Oh boy, Solani, not a great showing for your darling Selesnya over here.
I'm sorry, but I've won games with decks that do nothing. Just how I am, you know?
Okay, interesting, interesting.
So my vote is predicated on whether or not this challenge is accepted properly, because the context does matter.
Oh God,
and I'm going to insert my own challenge into it.
I knew it was coming.
So my vote is pending, I suppose.
That's
Morgan,
not fair.
Hold on, if you could split votes, I could pend votes. Morgan, go ahead.
Okay, what? So Solani's vote is on the stack, and I'm going to respond with...
Solani's vote is on the stack? We're doing that? Jesus.
I'm going to... Okay, what did I say? Science
Nothing.
Happens.
It's funny. I'm enjoying
Science
our podcast.
Stop
happens.
Expropriating.
So amidst learning and hearing about this story, I decided, you know, well, I can't just like agree or disagree with Solani. I have to find like a new like avenue of thought as to how I want to take my vote. We love a bulk rare commander. And the fact that poor Lightpaws is just causing all this grief and is just straight up like 50 cents, I'm living for it. I can go get a Lightpaws for like less than a dollar menu item. I'm there. I'm here for it. And we're just kicking butt and taking names with it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
You can have a budget brew take down a table with Light Paws. I mean, ethereal armor and all that glitters don't... they aren't expensive cards.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. But I think if the challenge is to be challenged and to accept the challenge, Amara, you are not the bolus.
I'm going to be very quick with this one and say, if this is the question we're landing on, how could you be the bolus? It's like, hey, somebody says, I bet I can kick your butt. I can do it so good. I've gone undefeated, and you're going to lose no matter what deck you bring to the table. La-di-da, good luck, double birds. And you're like, okay, what power level should I bring? Any. I'm going to mess up your stuff. I'm going to ruin your day with how good my deck is. I've already won too much.
This can't possibly be how it went down.
No, but I'm thinking out
loud. This guy's like the Winston Payne of Magic the Gathering. It's just like, I'm just hot, you know?
I'm going to have to look up.
Sorry, Ken.
Yeah, you got to bleep that. Who's Winston Payne?
He's like the initial prosecutor in all the Ace Attorney games. He's like the rookie killer.
Oh my God.
Like he's like so confident, but the only people he can trounce are like absolute noobs.
What a deep cut.
It's not a deep cut.
When's the last Ace game been released?
Like 2 months ago.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
It's not a deep cut. It's a vein ripper.
Oh,
Morgan, you still love that card sphere looking for that thing right now?
If you bought the foil.
I didn't. There wasn't a foil. I think those got snapped up.
It was a showcase. I don't want dossier white cards.
I get it. I understand.
I'm going to send you a dossier version of that card, and it's going to be the only one you could find, and you're going to enjoy it.
Oh, man.
You're going to play it on a stream. You're going to be invited on to like the biggest... You're going to be on game nights. Okay?
Plane Chase.
And playing your...
Plane Chase, your dream. And all you can do before the show is just slide in the dossier copy of Vein Ripper into your double sleeves, and that's all you can do.
Okay. Well, look, I think I'm going to go ahead and say with that very evocative story that I just did, you know, I told about the guy with the Faldorn deck being like, and Amara being like, what's the power level? And him being like, whatever, just come try to kick my ass. I think if you won after somebody's calling you out and challenge you to win, I mean, there's no You can't be the boldest here. This is a true Ugin episode, I feel like. Suspended
true Ugin. Mine's still pending.
It's a pending true Ugin. So there you have it, Amara. You're not the bolus for accepting the challenge and rising to the occasion. That's for sure. Before we get out of here, Solani, we were talking before about how much you hate Rakdos.
Oh, yeah, it's a nightmare.
And I hate
I'm leading
that.
Right into that. I'm going to get so much hate mail. It's going to be fantastic.
I got to say, I can't protect you. Rakdos, you know, Rakdos fans are going to Rakdos, and I can't protect you because I'll send you stuff in the mail.
Honestly, Rakdos fans are the type of person you would need to be protected from, right? Don't they, murder people for fun?
Hell yeah,
isn't that
they
whole
baby.
Story of murders at Karlov Manor? Markov Manor? I don't know. One of the
Karlov,
two.
Karlov, it's not Markov. Everybody that says Markov, take a second.
No.
It's not Innistrad.
I heard a judge say Markov Manor this weekend, so we're all in
serious?
The clear. I swear to you. And you know what? I've never felt more validated in my life because I said she gets it. She understands what it's like to be me.
I get it too, but I'm also like, take a second.
The boldest move Wizards could make right now is to announce a set called Murders at Markov Manor.
They will.
Oh my God.
They will.
So that they could have both. And it would be fantastic. They can't do it because it's terrible for SEO. Google
Edgar,
does not like when you say the word murder.
No, not at all. A lot of content creators have had to truncate it to just Karlov Manor.
It's MKM.
Yeah.
We're playing the MKM draft.
Anyway, before we get too out of the weeds here, Michael, you hate Rakdos and you said that you were building something interesting?
Yes, I am building Bant Punches.
Okay, well, of course you would.
Yeah,
you hate Rakdos
Bant.
So much that's Bant
Punch.
What?
Yeah.
So who's the commander?
All the colors except Rakdos. It's Shana, the Shana that is the life gain Shana.
Oh, from Dominaria United.
Yeah, she's a 3/3 with lifelink.
Uh huh.
And at the end of your turn, mm-hmm. you can pay X mana, where X is the amount of life you've gained, or up to X mana. It doesn't
right.
doesn't gotta be X mana, but
it's
up
a well
to.
Of lost dreams.
Yeah, and you could draw that many cards. It's perfect.
I mean, that's pretty sick.
It's the perfect command.
Oh, this is the deck you played in Chicago.
Yeah, it was
okay.
great.
Okay. Yeah, this is a beast.
And what you do with that is, since Shana already's got lifelink, mm-hmm. all you gotta do is have her punch things. You know, it removes the offending Rakdos creature on the other side of the board. You know, no blood artists, no vein rippers. You just uh-huh. you just hit them. And because Shana's got lifelink, you're already linking the life, right? You get all that life back.
You're taking it.
Because Shana's dealing the damage. And then you could draw that many cards. And that's what you do. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in there where whenever you gain life, you make Shana bigger. So you punch someone. There's a card in there. There's Nykthos Paragon.
Yeah,
you punch someone, she gets 3 counters. The next time right. she gets 6 counters, and then 12, and that goes on all your creatures. So you're pretty much murdering people immediately, you know, all while you're getting
nope.
a bunch
can
of life.
Bleep that out. Bleep it out.
Yeah,
oh my
can't
God.
Murder.
Come
don't,
on.
Don't bleep.
Jeez,
don't
Solani,
bleep it
you
out.
Were so
you're
close.
Word worth,
you were on
you
a
murder.
Ending
SEO.
Their destiny.
You were
know?
On a.
You're. They're falling down. they're going to the farm upstate.
There
where you
are
purchase
perfect.
So many
love it there.
Hot
homicide.
Dogs and French dips.
Mm.
So French dips. You guys are anyway. So this is a fun deck. Is this a stuffy doll deck? Do you got a stuffy doll in there?
No, I don't got a stuffy doll in there. Although that Damn. Would be a fun include.
Yeah.
But there's only one, you know. I guess if you punch the stuffy doll, it could mm-hmm. really mess someone up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Give the stuffy doll lifelink. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is Stuffy Doll only ever hits one person, right? You got to choose someone.
Right.
That's the annoying thing. And then you got to be in red if you want to do
the
real
other
version.
But yeah, exactly.
That's actually the thing that annoys me about that new Naya commander that's like now it just doubles all of your on damage effects, all your enrage effects,
yeah.
like Stuffy Doll. I'm like, come on, man, that deck builds itself, you know?
I'll say I've for a long time had a Savine, the Chronoclasm, Brash Taunter, Stuffy Doll. Deck where it's like all of those effects plus Savine, who has damage prevention right on it and copies instants and sorceries when they're cast from the graveyard, and then a bunch of Blasphemous Acts and Star of Extinction, stuff like that.
That's the scary thing, you know, like you come up with a decent idea and you make it into a deck, and then eventually Wizards comes out with a commander that just builds itself.
Yeah, but then I show up to the table.
All you got
to
do is you go on Archidek. I'm going to type in this
Waita
thing, this one search string, right? It's like whenever blank is dealt damage, you just put a bunch of those in and you're done.
Yeah.
I'm scared for when Wizards eventually creates the phasing commander, you know, the one that's like, yeah, you phase people out. It's like, I got a Xur deck.
Yeah.
I spent so much time on that Xur deck trying to get everything to be phased out. And that's a lot of fun for me. Not for anybody else, but for me.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But I'll say, like, as someone who plays a bunch of Rakdos, if you give me another Rakdos commander that likes when stuff dies, sick, I'll build it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fine with it.
Well, that's different, you know?
Yeah.
There's already Rakdos commanders that care about when stuff dies, right? It's all of them. All of them care.
All of them do.
Yeah.
Well, how do we feel about leaving that there? Are we good to pop over and scoot the day?
No more murder, guys.
Scoot. Am I saying words?
The day?
No more murder.
I don't know. We're just going to start saying stuff that sounds like it makes sense, and eventually stuff catches on. So, yeah, are you guys ready to scoot the day or what?
Yes, Mike, I'm ready to scoot the day.
Thank you, Michael. So let's scoot the day. Thank you, Amara, Goddess of Blunder, for calling in. Shout out to all our listeners. Keep writing in at amithebolus@gmail.com. Send us your stories. Send us your pet peeves, whatever you'd like. We've got amazing episodes coming up, so please subscribe to the podcast. In 2 weeks, we got another episode. You can find me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza, and check out my column, Am I the Bolus, at CommandersHerald.com. Check out GamesFreakSA.info. The letters are SA. It's not like SA, like you're writing an essay. So GamesFreakSA.info for Michael Solani's projects, but also CommandersHerald.com for how they brew it. You can check out Morgan at Indigo Gentleman on Twitter. And you can follow us at Am I the Bolus on Twitter as well. So thank you so, so much for being with us, for spending your time with us, and also for giving me a second to confirm that it's actually Am I the Bolcast, not Am I the Bolus. It's Am I the Bolcast on Twitter. Am I the Bolus at gmail.com, but Am I the Bolcast. So drive safe. Most people apparently are listening to this on the road. I won't play any car horns or sirens while recording this podcast.
That should be 100% illegal, by the way.
I agree. It should be illegal. And that'll do it for us this week. Tune in 2 weeks. We've got a great guest on that one, and we have more to come. Chicago was very good to us, and we hope to keep being good to you. So here we go. We're going to scoot the day on this one. Take care, everybody. And remember, Magic is a card game, and it rules. Sick.